Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I hope you ate a lot of turkey and ham and mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Do you like Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Me too. I really have. My wife is an amazing cook, and she makes the best apple pie you've ever put in your mouth. Makes her own crust and all that. I ate a piece the other night, and then I ate another piece. So this is dangerous pie. Don't we have a lot to be thankful for?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I tell you what, if you stop and think and even begin to meditate on what we have, it's just amazing. Just amazing. And, you know, we live in a nation where we have a national holiday to give thanks to the Lord. And that's what it's all about, giving thanks. You know, you can say give thanks, but to give thanks to who? Well, we can give thanks to people, and we should. But ultimately, we give thanks to the Lord, don't we? Who makes the rain fall from heaven. You know, remember the song, Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down?
Yeah.
Dating myself now.
Yeah.
The Carpenters, one of my favorite all time ever. That girl can sing, I'm telling you. But rainy days shouldn't get us down. Because without rain, rain is the blessing of the Lord. Got to have it. Got to have sunshine too. And it all comes down from above. I want to, while we're kind of waiting for people to maybe get back in and settle, I want to read you just something I read recently. I read the story of Robinson Crusoe. Any of you ever read that book? It's a great read. You should read it. It's a little difficult to read in its original version because it's so older English, but it's really a great novel. And I think I'll start with this because Robinson Crusoe, if you know the story, he was shipwrecked on an island, a deserted island, and the whole story is that he had been a Christian, but he had fallen away from God. And rebelled against his parents and went off and did his own thing and ended up in all kinds of trouble. And he ended up in a storm at sea and was shipwrecked. He was the only one alive and ends up on this island. He doesn't know if there's anyone there, lives there. What it turns out, it's a deserted island. However, it is visited by cannibals every now and then. And so he has to build defenses and he has to learn to grow food and all kinds of things. And he wrote something that I thought was very timely for a message on Thanksgiving. The title of our message today is Grateful Living. Grateful Living. And I think it'll be timely for us as we springboard into Psalm 118. He says, I learned to look more on the bright side of my condition and less upon the dark side, and to consider what I enjoyed rather than what I wanted. To consider what I enjoyed rather than what I wanted. And this gave me sometimes such secret comforts that I cannot express them, and which I take notice of here, to put those discontented people in mind of it who cannot enjoy comfortably what God has given them, because they see and covet something that He has not given them. All our discontents about what we want appear to me to spring from the want of thankfulness for what we have. Let me read that last line again, just to meditate on a little bit. It says, all our discontents about what we want appear to me to spring from the want of thankfulness for what we have. Ooh, that's pretty rich, isn't it? In And so if we live in gratitude, it will affect our attitude. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Well, we're going to be walking through thought by thought today, not word by word, but thought by thought in the Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 is a psalm of thanksgiving for what I say, the ever-present, enduring providence of God. The ever-present and enduring providence of God. Now, that word providence isn't used a lot in our day. It used to be used a lot, especially in the early days of our nation. Our founding fathers used the word providence a lot. And Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, the original Noah Webster's dictionary, he defines providence as the care and superintendence that God exercises over his creatures. The care and superintendence that God exercises over his creatures. And then he says this, a belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. When you believe in that overarching care and superintendence of God, it brings great comfort to your soul at all times, good times and stressful times alike. So Psalm 18 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And it's about acknowledging the Lord, Jehovah, who hears our prayers and saves us out of trouble. Aren't you glad God hears your prayers? We'll be talking about that some today. It's about living with hope in God, who anchors our soul in eternity. It's about rejoicing in the gates of righteousness that have been opened to us by our blessed Savior. It's about grateful living. So we're going to look at about six different main thoughts as we walk through Psalm 118 on why we should give thanks. Why we should give thanks. So let's pray and let's just ask the Lord to really open our hearts and our minds, and that we'll go out of here today full of gratitude. Father, we do approach your word this morning again with gratitude. Thank God you gave us a Bible, Lord. You gave us your word. You showed us who you are. And you want us to know you more every day. The Bible tells us, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would be moved in our hearts as we meditate on the goodness that you pour out on us every single day. And that when we leave here today, Lord, we'll be filled with a new gratitude. We'll be reminded, Lord, today of just how good you are. And that we will remember this every day, and it'll change the way we look at life. With you at the center, knowing that you are in control, trusting in your providence, Lord. I ask that for all of us today, for your name's sake, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, open your Bibles if you have them, and we'll have it up on the screen also. Psalm 118, I am reading from the New American Standard Version, which is what I usually preach from. Psalm 118, verse 1 through 4 is going to be our first thought. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, which we just sang together. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. So thought number one, why should we give thanks? Well, first of all, because God is good. And His loving kindness is everlasting. Some translations, the King James Version, His mercies are everlasting. Others, His love endures forever. God is good. If you look up that word good, it just means He's kind. He's pleasant. God is good. Psalm 33 says, there's a verse in Psalm 33 that says, the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Now that's something that you say, a lot of people doubt that. Depends on how you look at the earth. If you watch too much CNN or Fox News or watch too many apocalyptic movies, have you noticed that all the movies, I mean, the big blockbusting movies, the whole cities get destroyed and the world's coming to an end and all this kind of, people are obsessed with this end of the world stuff. But people doubt that, and people will challenge you, and is God, if God is so good, why is the world the way it is? But the Bible says the earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. And here it says God is good and His loving kindness is everlasting. We're going to talk about some of that. How do you deal with that? How do you differentiate between, how do you figure out God is a good God when you see all these things happening in the world that aren't so good? And yet, we're going to talk about some of the things that are so good. Amen? His loving kindness, it says, is everlasting. And that word everlasting means of long duration. It means antiquity. It means futurity. And I love this definition. It means time out of mind. Time out of mind. In other words, when you say His love, His loving kindness is everlasting, or His love endures forever, or His mercies are everlasting, it means as far back as you can think in antiquity and beyond, out of mind, they were. And as far forward as you can look in the future and beyond where your mind can reach, they are. His loving kindness is forever. It's infinite. It never ends. It never began. It goes beyond the beginning, and it goes beyond the end. His loving kindness is everlasting. And so, why should we give thanks? The key to a grateful heart is having a firm faith in the eternal mercy of God that goes beyond the grave. It goes where?
Beyond the grave.
Beyond the grave. Saints, if our hope is only in this life, you're going to have a hard time. But we serve a God whose loving kindness goes far beyond the grave. And that is the hope we have, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, actually. Verse 5 through 9, the psalmist writes, from my distress I called upon the Lord. Did anyone ever call upon the Lord in distress? Yeah, everybody would probably raise their hand, or just about. If you don't, you haven't lived very long. But we've all cried from the Lord in our distress. Lord, my checkbook is empty. Help me. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Pastor Doug was talking about that last week. He answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Has anyone ever hated you? Some of you can say yes. The Lord is for me. And so here we have this thought. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. Why should we give thanks? Because the Lord hears and answers me in times of distress. God hears me and He answers me in times of distress. And He sets me in a large place. Or He sets me in a safe place. The New Living Translation says He sets me free. He sets me free. Specifically, He protects us from people who would harm us. We should give thanks because God is a refuge, a place of safety. I want to tell you a little story. When I was pastoring New Hope Church several years ago, we had a young couple come and join our church, and they moved down from Kansas City. The husband, his name was Jeff, was coming to school here at MU, and he was young, and he had a young wife. He was white, and she was African. And the first thing you noticed about her, her name was Maria, when she came in, is she had no hands. She had stubs from here and here. Full of joy, full of life, one of the happiest, sweetest girls you would ever want to meet. And we learned her story. She was from the nation of Sierra Leone in Africa. When she was a little girl, her mother was Muslim. She grew up as a child in a Muslim home, but she had, and I believe it was either her grandmother or her aunt, and I think it was her aunt, was a Christian. Well, one time her mother sent her to stay with her aunt, and for a summer, and she came to know Jesus. She was introduced to Jesus. She took her to church with her, and she came to believe in the Lord Jesus. And she was probably maybe 8 years old at the time. Well, there was a civil war going on in Sierra Leone, and rebels rampaging through the countryside, and one day they attacked their village. And they took control of the village, and they came in, and they gathered up all the children. And they took all the little girls and cut their arms off. They took all the little boys and cut their arms and their feet off. Killed a lot of people, of course, terrorizing the village. Maria, she tells the story. She got behind a tree and was hiding behind a tree. And as she sat there behind that tree, Jesus came to her. He came to her. Tangibly came to her. He says, "You're going to live. You're not going to die." The rebels were running through and killing people. And she was behind this tree and she was just hidden. Somebody came, if I remember the story correctly, came right where she was and didn't see her. And she escaped, made it to a refugee camp and got cared. Miraculously didn't bleed out. She lived. A missionary from Kansas City came to the camp preaching the gospel, bringing aid and that sort of thing. And she began to pray, "Take me to America." And he left and came back several months later, and she was telling everyone, "This missionary is going to come back for me, and he's going to take me to America." And he didn't even know her. Sure enough, the missionary came back, and he heard her story, and she got to him. "I knew you'd come back for me." He couldn't leave her. So he did what he needed to do, and he was literally able to bring her back to America, a large place. A safe place. She got the care she needed. Now she has four children. She She feeds them, dresses them, everything with no hands. She is amazing. And so I tell you that story because in her distress, she called upon the Lord, and He answered her and set her in a large place. Now, most of us will never have a story that dramatic, I pray. Most of us don't want to have a story that dramatic. And yet God is a refuge to us, and He answers us in times of distress, and He sets us in a large place. And so we have an assurance from the Scriptures that God hears the prayers of those who cry to Him. And so no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, large or small, understand that God is there. And He will always hear you. You are His child. You are His son or daughter. And no matter what your circumstances are, God will hear you. He cares about you, and He will come and He will deliver you. So that's the second reason we should give thanks. God is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 10 through 14 says, "All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." Why should we give thanks? Because the Lord is our strength and song. Now listen to me, in times of war. Now we are extremely blessed to have never experienced war. Now maybe there may be some veterans in here who've experienced war in other places. If you do, if you have, you know that you don't want it to come here. We're in a safe place, at least for now. And we hope that it'll stay that way. And yet, there are times when violence comes to God's people. I was just reading an article recently about Colombia, South America. And there's civil war that's gone on there for years. And in this article, it talked about how there's 7 million refugees that have left the countryside and come to the city, many of them evangelical Christians. Our brothers and sisters who are in times of war, where they would read this scripture and it's real to them. Nations surrounded me, but the Lord, you cut them off. They were like bees around me, and yet you cut them off. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. In a violent world, God, He is our salvation. Now, we've experienced as Americans some violence in the last year. One was at a church where a shooter came in. You remember in Texas. What happens in times like that? Well, you hear them talking, and these are the kind of things they say. The Lord is our strength. He is our song. He is our salvation. And so as Christians, if we have a proper perspective of God and who God is as a refuge and a salvation, we will be thankful every day for the safety and the deliverance and the things He brings us. And even if we experience something terrible, if we have cultivated in our heart who God is, that He is our refuge, and that we can be thankful to Him at all times, our soul will be preserved. Amen? And many times people will blame God, get hard at heart when terrible things happen. C.S. Lewis once wrote, C.S. Lewis, great Christian writer in the early 20th century in England, he said, He said, a sense of sin is almost totally lacking in modern man. People believe that what goes wrong in the world is someone else's fault. He said, we approach God as His judges, as His judges. We want to know not if we can be acquitted of sin, but if He can be acquitted of creating such a world. We want to know not if we can be acquitted of sin, but if He can be acquitted of creating such a world, as if God is the author of evil. You know, God didn't create an evil world. We did. He created free creatures who could love Him. You know, robots, love doesn't do much for you. Something programmed to love you wouldn't really make you feel all that great. Love is an act of freedom, of liberty, and God created a free and beautiful world, and we messed it up. That's why He came to fix it. And so, we can give thanks because God is good. And even in times of trouble, we know God has our back because we put our faith in Him. Verse 15 through 18 says, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live. And tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Isn't it interesting? This psalm is kind of gut level real, isn't it? You see, that's why we love the Psalms. Written by real people in real circumstances, saying real things. Things that we really do live through. But look what he says. He says, it's the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. And he says, I shall not die but live and tell the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Why should we give thanks? Because we shall not die but live. We shall not die but live. Joyful shouting is in the house of the righteous because of the hope of eternal life. What Jesus says, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Hello? Didn't we just have some funerals lately? Did Jesus mess up? Did He make a mistake? Wait a minute, so-and-so died, my grandpa died, my grandma died, my mama died, He who believes in me shall never die. And even if he dies, he will live. We should give thanks because we're not going to die. We're going to live. We shall not die, but we will live. We just walk through a door into a new life. The hope of eternal life is an anchor of your soul. Saints, we need to live with a firm belief in heaven. I love to talk about heaven because it's real, because it awaits me and you if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you get saved, when you give your life to Christ, when you surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus, something happens inside of you, and it's the hope of eternal life. Even though you can't articulate it, you don't understand it, life explodes inside of you. And it's not just now life, it's eternal life. And it explodes inside of you, and you are connected to eternity. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so that's why shouts, joyful shouting, is in the house of the righteous. It should be. Saints, if you ever get down, just stop and start thinking about heaven. If you ever get sorrowful, just step back. I will not live. I mean, I will not die, but I will live. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to journey through this life, and God's my refuge in the midst of all this. And someday I'll be in His presence. Someday He'll wipe every tear away. Someday there won't be any more fear. Someday there won't be any more violence. Someday there won't be any more trouble. Someday there won't be any more sickness. Someday there won't be any more aging bodies. Someday there won't... I hate it. It's like, stop hurting. Someday we have a new body that'll never get sick. Come on, saints. That'll never, ever get sick. That'll never be sorrowful. Someday I'm going to walk into heaven and there's going to be my mama. Hi, mama. And my little baby we miscarried. I'm going to get to meet for the first time. And Jesus is going to be there. And we're going to see things that we can't even imagine. That's your destiny. That's what we're here for. And so see, we gotta be careful that this life doesn't so bog us down, that our roots are so deep here that we don't remember. Wait, we're just passing through here. We're just passing through here, saints. We've got to have that hope of heaven. That's what this psalm is about. God is good, and His loving kindness is time without beyond your mind. God's going to blow your mind. He's going to blow our minds. And we've never known peace. Not real peace. We've known it kind of in our hearts. We've got taste of it. So we've tasted a little bit. But we're going to know the Prince of Peace. And there's going to... Can you imagine? I can't start thinking, what would it be like to have no fear? Do you realize you've never lived without fear? It might just be afraid of what you see in the mirror in the morning. I don't know. But there's fear in relationships. And I mean, how many of us are totally transparent? Are you really? Wow. I need to get to know you. Well, none of us are totally transparent. None of us want everybody to know everything about us because of fear. But we will walk into the presence of God, and He knows everything. Every thought. Oh, help me, Jesus. Everything I've ever done. All the things I should have done that I didn't do. He knows it all. And you know, when you step into His presence, there will be no fear. I can't get my head around that. The one who can see everything. There's nothing that He, you know, nobody's going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I deserve to be in heaven because blah, 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 blah. I hear these commercials, well, you deserve this and you deserve that. I go, you don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. It's called grace. It's called the mercy of God. Is everlasting. And we're going to step into the presence of an all-seeing God, and because of Jesus, which we're about to get to, no fear. I will not die. I will live. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 through 21. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and you have become my salvation. The gates of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Jesus said, I'm the gate of the sheep. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. And then in verse 21, he says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, that I might be made the what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have opened to me the gates of righteousness. When you believed on the Lord Jesus, or if you haven't yet, when you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the promised Savior, the Messiah who is to come, who was to come, who we're celebrating coming this coming month, who put on flesh and came here and lived a sinless life and then offered Himself up as a sacrifice for us and traded His righteousness for our sin and gave us His righteousness. He is the gate of righteousness God has swung open. And He has become our salvation. Why should we give thanks? Because the gates of righteousness have swung open. And Jesus is the one who opened them. And I tell you, if Jesus opens a door, nobody's going to close it. If Jesus has opened your door, He's not going to close it. Amen? Hallelujah. These things, we got to meditate on the right things. When Thanksgiving Day comes, I mean, it's come, and this season, we're going into Christmas season. I love the Christmas season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I was singing that song this way. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. And it starts with Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm glad they didn't make Thanksgiving in July. It's great that it's right before the season of Advent as we're moving toward Christmas and we start giving thanks. And then, boy, we have the Christmas season just a time of thanksgiving because the gates of righteousness have been swung open for those who believe in the Lord Jesus. And then the last thought here, verse 22 through 29, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will give thanks to thee. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. So why should we give thanks? Because the sacrificial Lamb of God has been bound to the altar and offered up as sacrifice for us, and has become the rock of our salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He is the rock of ages, and He was the rock. He is the rock. He was tied to the altar, sacrificed for us, the sinless Son of God. And we have been saved from the punishment, the due punishment of our sins. And if we can't give thanks for that, then we need to get saved. We need to get right with God. We need to know God, who He is. He is the rock, saints, of our salvation. So this psalm begins and ends with the same words. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let us live a grateful life. Remember these words. Remember this psalm and the others, so many like it, as you're walking through the journey of life. Never, ever blame God, saints. If you happen to experience tragedy, understand we live in a fallen world, not by God's making, but by ours. But as a child of God, He walks through this life with you. He is there to pick you up when you can't get up. He is there to carry you when you can't walk anymore. He is there to comfort you when you've shed all your tears. He is there always to hold you, to keep you, to deliver you. And if He delivers you out of it, give Him thanks. If He walks with you through it until you go home to be with Him, give Him thanks. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Like Robinson Crusoe told us, don't want for what you don't have. Be grateful for what you do. Don't want for what you don't have. Just be grateful for what you do. Be thankful that you live in a nation like America. We got our troubles. But thank God, they're not cutting little girls' hands off. Pray for our nation. Pray for our church. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your family, because He hears the cry of His people. We serve a God who is ever present, ever caring, never sleeps, never slumbers. Knows you intimately and loves you dearly. He loves you this much. And He came to save us. Born of a virgin. Put on flesh. So we would live and not die. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and maybe you hear these words and you think, man, I wish I had that kind of peace or that kind of joy. Could you believe on the Lord Jesus? Maybe you have not yet. We're coming into celebrating Christmas. And it's not just a story, it's history. The virgin gave birth to the Son of God, who came to live and die so that we could be made right with the God who loves us. And if we put our faith in Him, and Him alone, you can't save yourself. You put your faith in Jesus. Confess with your mouth that He is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Paul said, you shall be saved. If there's anyone here this morning, I'm just going to ask this. Maybe you've never done that. You've never reached out and said, Lord, I surrender. I need you. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I need you to be my Savior. If you've never done that, and you'd like to do that this morning, I would love to pray with you. Maybe just slip your hand up. Just to say, that's me. That's me, Ken. Would you pray with me today? Anyone at all? I'm just going to wait a minute. I'm not trying to in any way pressure anybody. I just give you an opportunity to say, that's me, and I want Jesus. And then maybe if there's someone here this morning that you are in a real time of distress, say, would somebody just pray for me? Pray with me. Stand with me. And I want you, as I dismiss this morning, just come forward. I'd love to pray with you. Michael will be here to pray. Ken's up here. We'd love to pray with you or pray with someone else that's here that you know. Maybe someone brought you. They can pray with you and hear your heart, your needs, and we can stand with you. Because God cares about you. So do we. Father, I thank you for this time. Soak in your word. And we do offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving this morning. You are good, and your loving kindness is forever. Thank you, Lord, with all our heart. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, go and have a thankful day, and a thankful week, and pick up your kids and have a great week. See you next Sunday.